Now you don't have to stay linked to your desktop or laptop. Take Voice America on the go and listen anywhere. Get our mobile app for iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android at the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
This is The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on the following show are solely those of the host, guest, and its callers. It's time for The Growth Strategist. Here's your host, Aldana Ambler.
Welcome to the show. This is The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. And as you know, each week we rotate through different growth strategies, geographic locations, and, you know, in industries. So, you know, one week we're having somebody who's talking about acquisitions, and that's the way they grew their manufacturing plant in Kansas City. And then and the next week it's a retailer in Singapore talking about franchising. It's great fun. It's nice variety. And we're in our seventh year now. So if you haven't gone to the archives of Voice America Business or growthstrategistradioshow.com to kind of pick one of the growth strategies that you're considering doing, if you really think acquisitions is something you want to do, or you really have a new product launch you're talking about, or you're thinking about differentiation, you know, there's about 25 different growth strategies we've been rotating through. You can go back to this archives. We're getting close to 300 shows now. And what a lot of you are doing is, you know, you pick one of those and download 5, 6, 7, 8 shows on that related growth strategy, put it on your iPod, take it to the gym, and you listen to this when you're on the treadmill, and it's a really good continuing education. So I just want to remind you, if you haven't thought to do that, or are new to the program and don't realize that we've been on the air for quite a while, there's a real good library of some very bright people, and their journeys are marvelous. Now, I noticed that one of the things that we weren't focusing on, and I got a couple of emails on this, is that whole point of your growth strategies are often driven by your exit strategies. You know, what are you thinking of doing? Are you thinking of selling this thing at some point? This is a peer-to-peer-to-peer program where we're all presidents and owners of companies between 20 and 200 million, just about, and definitely under $1 billion. But this is not for startups. This is not for little, you know, people just starting a little tiny company. And so your questions are about, you know, well, wait a minute, what's your end game? Some of the baby boomers are starting to sit there saying, well, wait a minute, I'm a good president of this. I'm not sure I want to go through that, pull myself through the knothole to become a CEO, and wouldn't it be better for me to cash out? So this show is somewhat about exit strategy, but I'm picking an exit strategy. What if your exit strategy is, you know, you've thought about, instead of you going public, maybe you should become a division of a larger corporation? Easier said than done. And so what I did is I got a guest that can talk to us from both the side of, you know, what's the mindset of a company that is looking to sell to the corporation. But I found somebody that is living that journey from the other side of the coin, and that's going to be probably more valuable to the listeners. And Tony Lopez was a high-level executive at J&J. I mean, you know, you're talking about a director of marketing and strategic messaging or some such lovely title like that, and been with J&J a long time, won a bunch of awards. This is a very bright guy. And he's with a corporation called Care Fusion now. It's been there about a year and a quarter. That's about the time that he's been there. And he's in this really neat position of one of the divisions. It's about a $4 billion company, publicly traded. So you can picture this a company that does, it's healthcare related. He'll tell us a little bit more about it. But think about the respiratory the respiratory systems division of Care Fusion. All right. So now what would it be if it didn't exist a couple years ago, but it's a major corporation, and now they have the $770 million division that is a combination of 8 companies? Doesn't it make you curious now, how did that happen? Did the companies approach them? Did they decide we want to create a division and the easiest way is to do a roll-up and go consolidate the industry, pick the best 8 companies and pull them together? Who makes their mind up that this is the opportunity? So in a few minutes, I'm going to introduce him and have him talk to you from his viewpoint what that was like. But before I do that, I want to tell you one story related to one of my clients. And most of the listeners, you know I've been in business 38 years. And this journey has been absolutely fascinating. It grew the consulting firm to 126 people, full-time consultants, six offices, all that stuff. And so a couple of our projects and growth strategies involved roll-ups. So I'll tell you from the viewpoint of a couple that we did, one of the things that I noticed was that when an industry was going to consolidate soon was the tricky question. Could you tell if, you know, the major players were going to be stronger if they combined or if they were going to continue to run in parallel? So I found that there was a lot of buzz before roll-ups even started to get discussed. There were private meetings at associations, conferences. There were more longer dinners and staying up nights with people thinking about, are we really competitors or should we be in co-opetition? Should we be merging with each other? Should we be doing strategic alliances? There was a lot of dancing, if you know what I mean. Should we be working together or totally separate? And half-answered questions. And I found that when it started to move toward the roll-up, where the big corporation had to make the move, is if the competitors couldn't get their act together to figure that out. If they couldn't do joint ventures to go after bigger projects, if they couldn't figure out a way to scale their own individual companies, if they had hit a plateau and they were scared of doing the IPO themselves, if an inertia set in and they couldn't move past where they were, ha-ha, now it's ripe for the bigger corporation. Now, good news or bad news? If there's an inertia that's involved with the companies and that kind of entrepreneurial movement and growth has started to wane, and people's minds are focused on, you know, how much money they're going to get and what would be a way to cash out, that has a lot less desirability to the big corporation, because what are they buying? You know, a lot of times they're buying people. They're not just buying processes. And if they can tell there's a momentum that's been lost, you're already on your way down in the perceived value when you come into a negotiation. And it also telegraphs to a major corporation what you're looking to do, what you're wanting, you know, you're wanting out. Gives them a lot of power. So, long-winded story to tell you, if you're in an industry that's on the grow, and you find yourself having several competitors out there, but the plateau is chasing you like a brick wall, and those of you who are living with this know exactly what I'm talking about. You can feel that set point where you've got a decision coming. You've got to decide to do a public offering yourself pretty soon, or learn how to be a CEO and get some help so you can scale, or approach a corporation. And if you can face that inflection point before you're forced to, you have a much better negotiating position. But I just want you to think about that and then listen to some stories from the other side of the coin, because I want to ask my guest, you know, what's in the mind of the people who are selling and the ones that are buying. Okay, so on that lovely note, Tony Lopez, you there?
I am.
Would you like me to call you Anthony?
My mom, God bless her, who has passed, would be very happy about that, but Tony will be fine.
I said, you know, with all the work you're doing and the cool things you do, I said, whichever you want to be called, that's what.
Most people call me Tony.
Well, your career is marvelous, and one of the first questions I want to ask is, were you looking for the kind of position that CareFusion is asking you to do, or did they find you and say, come here? Which way did it go?
First, thank you for inviting me. I'm excited about this this discussion. This topic is very, very much in the middle of what I'm in right now.
Oh, you
the
are living you, it, man.
Oh,
yes.
I'm every single day, and if anybody doesn't believe that, I'd be happy to show them the scars that are still open.
You are living it. Oh, my goodness. I know you write books and speak, but, boy, there's a book coming out of this at some point.
There might be. No, the answer to the question is I had the pleasure of living through this once before when I was with Johnson & Johnson. And so I had the privilege, and it literally was a privilege, to actually be the general manager, the guy responsible for running Hand Innovations after we bought it, but also the guy who was assigned as a director of integration. So how do you bring this company, this entrepreneurial smaller company, into this mammoth, right? How do you bring that in, and how do you make it sense out of it? So I lived through that once before, learned a bunch of things about it. I think we made some great decisions. We made some not so great decisions on both sides as we went through the process. And then, a couple after that experience, CareFusion had an individual who was running what we used to call the infusion and respiratory businesses combined. Her name was Carol Zilm. She's no longer with CareFusion, but she was the president of that bigger division that was composed of two big companies, Respiratory Systems and the Infusion Company. And so she called me up, and we got to talking. And
oh, so she knew you from like an industry contact?
Well, no. She didn't know me, but basically when the recruiter came looking for somebody who had experiences, one of the things they were looking for was somebody who understood, you know, how to deal with integration.
Okay,
so it was one of the aspects they were looking for.
All right. Now, one of the reasons I asked that, remember our audience, you know, they're presidents of companies between 20 and 200 million.
Right.
One of the things I'm kind of planting, you know, is there's a big career change that happens when a CEO of a business that's been independent, privately held, they get to that scale and they go through an integration. One of the things that interferes with or makes them pause isn't about the company. It's about themselves.
Mm.
What's going to happen to them when they go through this deal, where are they going to land? And sometimes I'm finding they land in positions like you have.
That's very possible.
For the company, you know?
Well, let me give you a little bit of the history of how Viasys, what is now known as Respiratory Systems, a company Viasys came to be. It actually came to be, as you mentioned in the opening, by combining 7-8 different smaller companies. How big were these smaller companies? They're about the size of the audience that you're referring to. They were, you know, $50 million, $100 million, $200 million companies that then Viasys, in and of itself, was a, you know, 10 years ago, about that size company, started doing some significant acquisitions. And over a period of about, you know, 5 to 7 years, they became a billion-dollar company, but it was absolutely on the back of buying companies like Jaeger and Sensomatics and Pulmonetics and Tierra and AirLife, all of which were smaller, quote unquote smaller, right? Because it's funny how we have perspectives of small. You know, $50 million is not small, but
it's
a smaller company.
Well, it isn't the person who owns it, but it is compared to the $1 billion. You know,
exactly. It's all, you know, as my boss now says, your perspective is from whatever chair you're sitting from. So, but in essence, you know, that's how Viasys came to be, and then Cardinal, this big, giant $80 billion company.
This is The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. We'll be right back with Tony Lopez of CareFusion.
Be sure to friend us on Facebook. You can do it right now. Visit facebook.com/Voice America or search for us at keyword Voice America.
If you're a struggling business trying to get to the next plateau and would like to learn more about what Aldana can do for you, log on to thegrowthstrategist.com. Listen to some of our many satisfied clients.
We called in the Growth Strategist to do a strategic analysis of our company, design an organizational structure, and improve our management team. The important point is that Aldana Ambler gets it. Her extensive experience coaching fast-growth companies has really paid off for us.
Aldana played a key role in driving the rapid growth of our company. We now have a strategic growth plan in place, obtained growth financing, have a stronger management team, and expanded our services, and are already seeing profits. Companies dealing with business growth issues couldn't ask for a better or wiser business advisor than Aldana Ambler.
What are you waiting for? Call 1-888-ALDANA today and see where your business can go tomorrow. Once again, that number is 1-888-ALDONNA. TheGrowthStrategist.com, achieving accelerated growth with sustained profitability.
If you think you've seen online TV before, let us surprise you.
VoiceAmerica.tv is online now.
The leader in live internet talk radio has done it again. Multiple channels, a state-of-the-art viewing experience, live and on-demand programs streaming 24 hours a day. It's exactly what you want, when you want it.
VoiceAmerica.tv.
From health and wellness to business, sports, and everything in between, discover our new world. Visit VoiceAmerica.tv now and experience the future of online television.
VoiceAmerica.tv.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
You're logged on to The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. Call in right now with your questions and comments toll free at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Now let's jump into another segment of The Growth Strategist. Here's Aldana Ambler.
Welcome back to the show. This is The Growth Strategist, Aldana Ambler, and today we're talking with Tony Lopez of CareFusion, So let me ask some specific questions. With what you're talking about, was there a time frame in mind, in the minds of the people over Cardinal and over Care Fusion? Move, we've got to hit this division and get it up to speed by X number of date? Was that a mindset or not?
I don't think that was a mindset, but it should have been. Okay, I think it should have been. I think the due diligence process, you know, there was probably some due diligence steps that were not done as well as they could have been. And so they probably missed some things that in hindsight they go, did I pay too much for the company? Did I not pay? Now, of course, I wasn't here at the time, so I'm giving you history
You can be the armchair quarterback. All right.
But yeah, exactly. I am the Monday morning quarterback. But
was it equivalent to like an RFP they send out? We're looking to have companies that are going to participate, you know, or is it a...
That's not really the way it happens. You know, the way it really happens is, you know, either you pick up the phone as the CEO of the company that you're looking to sell, or the company that you're looking, you know, if you're looking to buy someone, you pick up the phone, and really the way it happens is, you know, CEO to CEO, they make a call and they say, you know, your business, my business, looks like there's some synergies. Would you like to talk?
Yeah.
I mean, that's oftentimes the way these things start.
I've heard that sentence, and you don't know whether or not there's a strategic alliance coming, an acquisition coming, a competitive bid coming, but it's
exactly. I just literally just had that call just this week with another company who's based overseas, and his, you know, the CEO of that company gave me a call and said, hey, you know, you know me, I know you, we don't know each other personally, we know our companies. Maybe there's opportunities for us to either figure out whether there's joint venture opportunities, whether there's partnership opportunities, whether we want to sell something off, buy something off, and that's, in my mind, is how it starts, right? You express that interest.
Of companies that are around 50 million, they have a tendency to pause when they get that call because they don't feel ready, or they're feeling like their profitability is not enough, or they don't want to reveal too much to a big corporation.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And
yeah.
They don't want to take the appointment. Dumb or smart?
I don't think it's very smart. I think look, in life, you know, there's no harm in the discussion, right? I mean, now you got to think through about how much do you want to share and how much information would you want to share, because after all, there's still a competitive, you know, environment going on. But I think not to take the call is probably not very smart. I mean, I would take the call. I would explore it. I would hear what they're thinking, and might cause you to think things through a different way. Avoiding the call,
There was one big company that, you know, wanted to come in and have us talk to them about selling my strategic planning firm to them long before I did, and I turned down their offer, but gosh, did I learn a ton.
Yeah, sure. Sure, and I think as you take the call, you know, you think through, okay, what would I like to learn about who they are and what they and what the marketplace, and you know, hey, here's the interesting thing. It's the same thing I tell people when they say, well, a recruiter called me, you know, because they're offering me a job, you know, but should I take the call? I'm like, well, what do you got to lose? You got nothing to lose by knowing what your value in the marketplace is.
So
I would say yes, take the call.
To, you know, initiate the discussions, because then you know what competitors are thinking. You know what some of their questions are. It's going to help you even if you only want growth financing, because you'll know what other people are going to ask. So
sure.
There's a dance back and forth in the before section. Before there's a deal.
No doubt.
There's the
no
kind
doubt.
Of half information. Here's where we're going. How candid is the corporation in describing their strategic direction? Are you forthcoming with that?
Well, you know, and that's a great, great question. I think you know, that's when you have to rely. Look, you didn't get to be a CEO of a leader of a fairly significant company without having something between the ears. So you're already a pretty intelligent person, and you probably are a pretty good judge of character, and you probably, we all have a sense of whether we're just getting smoke blown at us or whether we really, you know, whether there's something real there. So I think you have to really rely on your instincts as to whether this is a real discussion and whether there's some, you know, you want to avoid what I call, you know, the smoke and mirrors, right? Are we having a real discussion?
You know, and 9 times out of 10, it's not about money. It's about fit.
Absolutely.
Does it look like you fill a hole in the corporation's mix? Does it look like your ethics are similar? You know, are you serving a similar customer base? That's a lot of what the discussions are about.
Money is going to be the one of the very last things you'll talk to me. Look, at the end of the day, the valuation of your company and your asset is what it is. You can't make it up. You know, if a company does a good, if you get all the smart people to do a good due diligence, it's sort of like when you're buying a house. You go buy a house, you're going to get a house inspector, and they're going to tell you whether it's worth what they're asking or not. And so it's not the value of your company, it's more the strategic fit. And importantly, it's kind of what your company has to, at least from a buyer perspective, right? So when I'm looking at a company, I'm not interested in what they currently have in the market. I may be interested in that product. I'm much more interested in what's coming in their pipeline.
Right.
What do they have coming? Mm-hmm. Because and that gets more into kind of what are the considerations, right? What do we consider when we're looking at somebody? What are you really buying?
See, and I've found some people that when they're in these discussions with a big corporation, they get embarrassed and they start explaining too much and making excuses for what didn't happen last year, and they forget that the major corporations are in the same kind of lousy economy, or may have some cash issues themselves, or they've seen 10 different businesses at their scale and know all the skeletons anyway. So, you know, sitting there giving excuses or explanations, or it just distracts from the discussion.
It really does. I mean, look, at the end, when if you do get to the part where you start really sharing, opening your books and showing your strategies and your numbers and your history, the numbers speak for themselves. A smart MBA-type guys from Harvard can do all the math, and they can figure out what the valuation of the company is, what your trajectory has been in sales, what your SG&A is, what your operating expenses really are. I mean, all of that is going to come through, and you hyping it up is not going to make any difference.
No,
frankly.
And in fact, that's kind of the break between this first section and the second section of our show here. Okay, first thing is, in the time where you might be working with each other, the message to the presidents of mid-sized companies is, watch what's going on in the industry. Know who the big players are. Don't duck any of the appointments. In fact, initiate some of them before you even are ready, because that helps open the doors and show you're a player and you're on the move and you learn.
Sure.
You do not have to have your decision in place to know exactly what you want the end game to be before you talk, because it may be a strategic alliance, a joint venture, a subcontract, a subprime, an acquisition. You don't know. Who cares what that is? But if there's a fit, it can help make you money and keep growing. And stop talking about the money, because it interferes with your hearing fit, right?
Yeah, good.
Okay,
that's a great
take a break. And I want to ask you after the break, how do you make that transition from, okay, I think we have a fit, to talking about dollars? Okay, we'll be right back. This is The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. We'll be right back with Tony Lopez of Care Fusion.
Find out which guests are being featured this week. Read our network press releases and read the blog posts from your favorite hosts. Go to iradioblog.com today, powered by the Voice America Talk Radio Network.
If you're a struggling business trying to get to the next plateau and would like to learn more about what Aldana can do for you, log on to thegrowthstrategist.com. Listen to some of our many satisfied clients.
We called in the Growth Strategist to do a strategic analysis of our company, design an organizational structure, and improve our management team. The important point is that Aldana Ambler gets it. Her extensive experience coaching fast growth companies has really paid off for us.
Aldana played a key role in driving the rapid growth of our company. We now have a strategic growth plan in place, obtained growth financing, have a stronger management team, and expanded our services, and are already seeing profits. Companies dealing with business growth issues couldn't ask for a better or wiser business advisor than Aldana Ambler.
What are you waiting for? Call 1-888-ALDANA today and see where your business can go tomorrow. Once again, that number is 1-888-ALDONNA. TheGrowthStrategist.com. Achieving accelerated growth with sustained profitability.
Follow the Voice America Talk Radio Network on Twitter. We're at Voice America TRN. You'll get the latest fix on what's happening with our shows, this week's featured guests, and general happenings that you should know about at the Voice America Talk Radio Network. Now you don't have to miss anything when you're away from your home or office. Just go to twitter.com/Voice America TRN or follow along with us at Voice America TRN, the Voice America Talk Radio Network. We're on the cutting edge of social media.
Can you keep up?
From the boardroom to you, Voice America Business Network.
You're logged on to The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. Call in right now with your questions and comments toll free at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Now let's jump into another segment of The Growth Strategist. Here's Aldana Ambler.
Welcome back to the show. This is The Growth Strategist, Aldana Ambler. And we're talking to Tony Lopez of CareFusion, and I love the fact that, you know, here he is in the integration of 8 companies into a division. You know, it's $770 million division here. We're talking about some major work here. So he knows what it's like with, you know, dancing with 8 partners. Did you negotiate with all those people at the same time, or one at a time? How did you?
No. Again, I think over time, Viasys, because when I joined Viasys a year and a half ago, it was already part of CareFusion, and already, so you already had all these companies under one umbrella.
You didn't have to do the negotiation.
I did not have to do the negotiation. Right.
Okay.
My job is to say, how do I take these 8, you know, individual companies that have their own manufacturing plants in some cases, that have their own quality systems, they have their own, you know, financial systems, and how do we really bring them together culturally, strategically, you know, all of that. So,
I want to get that in a few minutes. I just want a couple of minutes on the negotiation. Do you know,
right,
you know, like, at what point is there that inflection from, okay, we've got strategic fit, I think we should play together. When do they start talking about due diligence? Who brings it up? You know?
As we said in the first segment, so you start with the phone call, right? And then maybe you have coffee and maybe you have dinner. So you have that waltz that goes on.
Yeah.
And then very quickly it becomes, yes, there's an interest here. And so, you know, in the case of CareFusion, you know, we do have many deals going on, and we're constantly looking. So we have a group of people whose job it is to do, quote unquote, the preliminary due diligence, right?
Yeah.
And that's when you've got to be willing to sign, you know, the initial NDAs, right, the non-disclosure agreements and so forth, and that's when you say, okay, you're gonna allow your books to be, you know, open and viewed, and this group is gonna have a look at it, and they're gonna want to look at your strategy, they're gonna want to look at your business plans, they're gonna want to look at your historical numbers, and you're gonna have to think real closely about a couple of things. One is, who from your end do you want involved in the process? And this is a really, really important point for the company that's opening up, you know, bringing in these folks to have a look.
I find the presidents can't even sleep at night when they do it.
Well, here's the thing. You got to remember that as soon as you do that,
right,
if too many people know that, frankly, you're signaling, gosh, we may be for sale. And then, you know, imagine what that does to your employees, right?
Oh, yeah.
So clearly you want to be mindful and thoughtful about who needs to be involved at those stages. And of course, it's usually a couple of the senior people, yourself and a couple of senior people. And that's it. And because at that stage, you're just exploring.
The CFO and maybe one other person.
Exactly. Okay. You're keeping it very, because you're just exploring. That's all you're doing is exploring. And so, you know, you go through that process, and then that's going to very quickly, Aldana, that's going to lead very quickly to a ballpark sort of, are we even in the ballpark, right? So if you're thinking, you know, hey, I want to get $500 million from my $100 million company, you may be worth that, but from the buyer's perspective, they might say, you know, you're only worth 2x sales, not 5.
Yeah.
And so you're very quickly going to know if you're in the ballpark, and then you can very quickly, and I would suggest this would be the right thing to do, as we just recently did ourselves, as we're looking at another company, and say, you know what, we're not even close to the ballpark, so, you know, let's just say thanks for the chat. We'll talk again in the year.
Yeah.
You know, so you don't let it go too far down, because
then
you're just frustrating yourself.
You know, like, what's the time frame in your experience from, you know, the time they're sitting down at iced tea to the time they say, let's keep going, or, you know, it's not a fit, let's stop?
I think you should shoot for weeks and a few months, and not let it drag on. Right.
I've done several deals, and I say to people, there's about 6 meetings that are involved with the whole process. I call them 6 iced teas. And basically, you know, if it takes you more than 6 discussions, there's a big issue. You're dragging this out. You're protracting it. It's not going to work out. Who are you kidding?
Yeah.
And if you can't tell her the fit after a couple of discussions, what are you talking about? Right?
Yeah. No, exactly right. I mean, this is not something you don't have to drag this thing out. And if anything, you could always say, you know what, it doesn't feel like there's a fit right now. Why don't we agree to revisit in a year? Because things
some
change.
What are some of the things that the corporation people are looking for that you find the presidents of mid-sized companies don't know? They don't realize it.
I think probably the thing that surprised me a little bit, maybe it shouldn't surprise me, but I'm thinking of one particular case very recently, within the past 6 months, while I was already at CareFusion, we were looking at this other company that we thought that might be some interest on our end to acquire them, and there was interest in them on their end as well. What was interesting to me was how disconnected it seemed, at least from my perspective, how disconnected it seemed the CEO was with what the true value of his asset really is. I think he had a very inflated value in his mind about what his asset is worth. So I think for me the big surprise was, you know, I guess we all think our stuff is worth more than it actually is. But the reality is that you want to be realistic. Really have a hard look at what you have.
You wonder what they've read. It's like the MBA students coming out of school and they expected opening salary.
Yeah, exactly.
What they're supposed to start with that.
You know, you really, and importantly, you cannot rely. Here's the other thing I would say to CEOs is, please don't rely on what it was a year ago or two or three. It's irrelevant. It's absolutely irrelevant.
Yeah.
The economy today is a completely different economy than it was a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
You know, the marketplace is a completely different place than it was a couple of years ago. So, you know, if you want to kick yourself and say, gosh, if I had sold it a year ago, I would have gotten twice. Well, too bad. You know,
now, that's finding just that what's in the corporate mind is to have a deal so that the money transaction and the payments, et cetera, are done within a 2-year period or done within a 5-year period or self-funded by the new division. What's the premise?
I don't think at least in CareFusion and certainly in a little bit of that I did in J&J in this area, there wasn't a particular set rule. I think, you know, it depends, frankly depends on the size. We just recently, CareFusion just did an acquisition of a company, and it was a fairly small acquisition. I mean, it was a very significant one for us, but it wasn't a very expensive transaction, so I'm sure how we would handle that transaction will be different than if you bought a $1 billion division or something like that. So
I just noticed, like when you go for venture capital, you know, the premise almost always is that you want to have your money up front, but you have to be able to cash out and have the 5x ROI in 5 years. And every once in a while, you have something shorter or a little longer, but, you know, the operating premise is a 5-year window. So I'm just curious, when you're trying to create a division, you know, mm-hmm. that time frame is also one of the things that makes the smaller companies nervous or wonder, is how much is going to be rushed or slow. The image that corporations take so long to do things, the bureaucracy versus the, you know, the entrepreneurial mentality, they make kind of assumptions about it. So they worry about the timing, not just the money.
I think what companies, the buying company, what we care about is truly what is going to be the financial outlook of the company over the next, you know, horizons. If your company looks at 5 years or 7 years, whatever your company horizon typically is, somewhere between 3 and 7 years.
Okay.
And the ROI on the investment, right? I mean, that's what you ultimately care about, is whether you, and importantly, here's a bit of data and a bit of background. Very, very, very few acquisitions deliver on what the initial ROI thought that it would deliver.
Yeah.
I mean, very few. And so,
same thing with the venture capitalists. That's why they need the big deals, because 9 out of 10 don't make what they thought. Really.
So for me as an engineer, a logical thinker, I sit there and go, well, gosh, if most deals don't deliver, why is it? And I would say it's probably not because we didn't do a good job of integrating them or whatever. I think it's probably because the initial assessment was overstated.
Yeah. Wishful thinking. You know, the entrepreneurs are optimists and all that.
Exactly. And the company, and by the way, the acquiring companies are optimists too. I mean, they wouldn't be buying the asset if they didn't think it was a good deal.
Now, do the top people, like the presidents, the owners of the business, go with the deal, or are you finding more of them are on the premise that the top dog's probably going to be let go and the leadership will shift?
You mean of the company that you buy?
I have a $50 million company. I sell it to you. Would I be expecting that I'm going to be doing something else with my life pretty soon?
So that's a great, great question. I mean, you're asking some wonderful questions. So I thought about that, and I said to myself, so what should the CEO consider if they are, when they're selling? And I have 5 points that I'd like to sort of mention real quick.
Cool.
If you're the guy selling, and I've never been in that situation. I've never had the pleasure of growing my own company and then selling it, but I've talked to a few people who have, and I've worked very closely with one specific gentleman who actually did it, and I lived the experience through him.
Yeah, I've done
and
it, and I've also helped several clients do it.
Yeah, there you go.
So I like the emotional piece.
Yeah, so I'm gonna be interested to see how you think these 5 things that I'm coming up with.
Go for it.
So the first one is, you got to be mentally prepared for the transition. You must be saying to yourself, okay, you know what? Once I go down this path, I got to be mentally prepared that I'm going to be moving on.
One way or the other, the career changes. Even if they stay with the corporation, they are not in the same role.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
I got you.
So be mentally, number one, be mentally prepared for a transition. Number two, prepare to let go completely.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, number three, help your team accept their new reality. So, you know, people may not everybody in the company will go, some will go, but some will stay. And so you got to help make them accept that new reality and not harken back constantly to their past. Four, focus on what your legacy will be. And this is here's what I really want to get this point across is, if you leave and say to yourself down deep, we all have that little secret down deep where we say, they'll never be able to do it as good as I did it, or they won't be able to be successful without me.
Yes.
That's not the legacy.
Have done it if I didn't get them.
Exactly. Yes. You know, you should be proud of what you've created.
Right.
You've created something great, and you want to leave it. But like having children, you want them to be even more successful when they're gone.
Yeah, I know. I sound like a social worker when I say it. To me, I find people intellectually know they were successful if they were able to profitably sell, but there's something about it that feels like a failure to most people.
Well, and actually, again, that's why I say, you know, you want them to be successful after you're gone, because that's your legacy. Your legacy is they were able to build on what you created.
Oh, I got you.
Exactly. And number five, move on. Move
you know, I've actually said to people when they're going through this, get a therapist privately, because you are going to, by bouncing off the wall emotionally, and you don't want to wear that on your sleeve at work, and your real role is to the stewardship role over the entity and the people. And, you know, for somebody to pick you up off the floor and make sure you're okay, that's your private matter elsewhere. Is that crazy?
Yeah. No, I think
that helps them. I've lined up more shrinks for people going through negotiations
there you go.
With corporations.
There you go.
You know, cause then it's, but you know when they need it the most? When they get a no. When they thought they were going to be selling and it looked like a big hit and fabulous. And
I think you said something that I thought was right on, which is around, you know, the feeling of once you decided to sell and you sell, you put the money in your pocket, you got the euphoria of the, you've made it big, you were successful. And then you almost feel like a failure. Feel like a failure. You were not a failure.
Sense of purpose is so amazing. You think that they're on the next to five projects. No. The negotiations are debilitating even when they go well. And I find even the most energetic people have to recover from the negotiations even if it went great.
You know, one of our former CEO here just retired, Dave Slaughterbeck, a man who I respect tremendously. He just retired, and he on a couple of occasions while he was going, you know, a couple of his going away parties and so forth, he said, "Look, I've had many successes which were all based on the people around me,"
right.
And then he said, "And I've had a few failures that I blame myself for completely."
Yeah.
But interesting perspective.
Oh yeah, they all say that. Now, well, I'm going to take a break, and what I want to do is find out what kills some deals, and then I want to talk about this integration piece. So,
okay.
This is the Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. We'll be right back with Tony Lopez of Care Fusion.
The future of online TV is here. View exclusive content from your favorite talk radio hosts and new programs that you can't see anywhere else. Visit voiceamerica.tv today.
If you're a struggling business trying to get to the next plateau and would like to learn more about what Aldana can do for you, log on to thegrowthstrategist.com. Listen to some of our many satisfied clients.
We called in the Growth Strategist to do a strategic analysis of our company, design an organizational structure, and improve our management team. The important point is that Aldana Ambler gets it. Her extensive experience coaching fast-growth companies has really paid off for us.
Aldana played a key role in driving the rapid growth of our company. We now have a strategic growth plan in place, obtained growth financing, have a stronger management team, and expanded our services, and are already seeing profits. Companies dealing with business growth issues couldn't ask for a better or wiser business advisor than Aldana Ambler.
What are you waiting for? Call 1-888-ALDONA today and see where your business can go tomorrow. Once again, that number is 1-888-ALDONNA. TheGrowthStrategist.com. Achieving accelerated growth with sustained profitability.
Have you friended us on Facebook yet?
Why not?
Just go to facebook.com/Voice America or search for the keywords Voice America. Once you are part of our Facebook network, you'll receive daily messages about what's happening with our shows, this week's featured guests, and new happenings at the Voice America Talk Radio Network. And you can add your voice to the always active discussions on our wall. Just go to facebook.com/Voice America or search for Voice America.
Voice America Business Network, the bottom line in business.
You're logged on to The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. Call in right now with your questions and comments toll free at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Now let's jump into another segment of The Growth Strategist. Here's Aldana Ambler.
Welcome back to the show. This is The Growth Strategist, Aldana Ambler, and today we're talking with Tony Lopez of CareFusion. And our topic, to remind you, I want to make sure you know that as a mid-sized company, your exit strategy matters, and your growth strategies flow from that. So if what you're trying to do is position your company to be sold to a major corporation, to become a division or part of a division, you got to think about what are they looking for. At what size would you need to be at the right scale for them to say, okay, you got enough going here, it's worth doing the due diligence. And in some industries, you got to get to the about $80 million point for someone to even want to dance with you. In other industries, it starts at about 20. So what's going on in your industry for you to know when you should start to even consider this? How do you get to that scale and then be aware of what's going on? Learn how to do negotiations long before you're ready to actually make a deal. I'm going to say that again. Learn enough about negotiation and the dance and the possibilities and walk from several possibilities before you actually want to have a deal go well. And I'm really saying that multiple times for you to hear it, because by the time you really want it, there's an emotional investment, there's changes in how you approach your dollars, it's distracting to the business, and it leads to a huge crash of the person. If you're so invested in the result, you got to stay open to what's right for the business, right for the people behind you, and less invested in you succeeding in the deal. You can't get in your own way. So one of my questions to you, Tony, is it's a loaded question, because that's what I'm seeing kills the deals. What are some other things that are deal killers? When it looks like the due diligence is going well and it should be a fit, what kills some of the deals?
A couple of things could kill the deal. One is, again, whatever your strategy plan is, make sure that it passes let's call it the red face test, right? you got to have a strategy that, frankly, is well thought and realistic and accommodates the changing market demographics and environment around you. If you and your team have not really, or if you provided a plan to the due diligence team that in essence tries to make your company look better than it actually is, that's transparent. Transparent, and it's not going
to
work,
and it's going to kill the deal. That's a deal.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. Don't fake it. It's a deal breaker, and if you get away with it, you'll get away with it, and then then your legacy gets marred by that as well. So
they don't get away with it
very
long.
No. So don't do that. I think the second thing is just transparency in the process.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure that you have open lines of and good lines of communication, transparency between both the due diligence team from your side and theirs that are having the dialogue, and just make sure that there is a collaborative effort going on, because in the end, you're looking to sell an asset, they're looking to buy an asset. You want this to be, quote-unquote, a win-win. Not nobody needs to lose in this process, because that's not the intent. The intent is they're buying it because they think it's worth something. You're selling it because you're ready to.
One of the things I've seen mess up deals recently is if the company's encumbered with lots of complicated minority stock shareholder things where there's too many relationships and you can't get to the real negotiator. Are you seeing any of that, or is that not a problem? You got good attorneys and that doesn't matter.
I haven't experienced that. I have not experienced that. I think the things that I've seen is much more a CEO who maybe has an inflated view of what the asset is worth. A plan that maybe doesn't feel like it's a realistic plan.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden you've been growing the company at 8-10%, and then you got a pipeline that says you're going to grow the company at double that. Well, based on what? What's your thought around it? And the third thing is, because if you're truly not prepared to do a due diligence, The third thing that can be difficult is you're not willing to give all the information that a due diligence team is going to be requiring.
Yep.
And so it's going to seem like you're hiding stuff because I don't want to give away that information. That may be too sensitive, too competitive.
The corporation's got to imagine the worst, not the best.
Exactly. So
what else I'm seeing is if the guy hasn't listened to your 5 points and is wanting to require that he's going to have a lot of say after the acquisition.
Well, that's what I was hoping we'd get into. So, what's the CEO consideration?
Let's go into integration. You've got 8 companies you're integrating. What's that like?
So now let's say you're a CEO of a $200 million company. You just bought yourself a $50, $100 million company. You've almost doubled your size in one acquisition.
Yeah.
You know, what are the things, and I have also 5 things. Like, I kind of think in fives.
Oh, cool.
What are the 5 things that I think you ought to make sure, if you're the buying now you're the buying and the integrating guy. So first, make absolutely sure that you've had a realistic due diligence. Do not let emotional purchases. Don't you get emotional about it, and don't let your team get emotional about it and get enamored with a purchase. This is a business, non-biased, numbers-driven decision, right? So number one, ensure realistic due diligence. Number two, make a very, very quick and thorough talent assessment and make sure that the talent assessment is a very significant part of the due diligence. If not before the acquisition, then immediately thereafter. Because when you're buying something, you're buying 3 things. You're buying talent, technology, and an asset, or an access to the market. I mean, that's what you're buying. You're buying an ability to access a market, an innovation pipeline, and the people who are there. Right? Number three, assign one leader.
Mm-hmm.
And that person, if the company's small enough, then you can have, as I had the privilege of doing, being the sort of the guy running the business and being the integration director. If the business is small enough, then you can do that. And I think in the category that we're talking about, they're all usually small enough.
Mm-hmm.
But assign one leader and one leader only. Co-leadership does not work.
Oh, I've seen people try.
Okay.
It's nuts.
It doesn't work. And number four, you know, make sure that leader, hopefully prior to, as part of the due diligence, if not immediately thereafter, they have a very, very tight 30, 60, 90-day implementation plan. Make sure that
it's
and
a short
part
transition.
Of that,
it's not protracted. It's
exactly.
Not,
you want somebody who
able to talk. No.
You know, you want somebody who can go in there and do what needs to be done. And finally, the last thing is make difficult decisions quickly.
Yeah.
You know, including, by the way, on what talent you're going to keep and what talent you're not going to keep.
Yeah.
But you make those decisions quickly, and I like the Band-Aid approach. When something is not, if you think, you know, there is a book called The 6-Month Fix. A colleague of mine just said suggested it to me, and it's a great little book. It's a funny book, but it talks about how do you get things moving quickly, and so that's what this is about.
A lot of people need it right now because, you know, still having wishful thinking that things are going to improve and they're not.
Yeah, no. Make your decisions quickly. They won't be perfect. You got to be comfortable with making imperfect decisions. Make them quickly and implement them quickly.
Yeah.
So five simple things.
Oh, those are wonderful. And the kinds of things that you find you have, you can't mention names, I understand that, but to try to integrate 8 different cultures, what kinds of stuff are you having to deal with?
Well, that's another great question. So the very first thing that I found when I arrived at CareFusion Respiratory Systems, which, by the way, is a wonderful, wonderful company with incredible products and incredible people. So
you can hear it in your voice that you're very.
No, I am privileged and blessed to be a part of this group. Absolutely. But what I found as soon as I got here, not surprisingly, was that you had, you know, out of 4,000 employees throughout Respiratory Systems, CareFusion has about 15,000 employees, 4,000 in the respiratory. They all had an alliance, a connection to one of these pieces, right? They were either, I'm from the pulmonetic side, I'm from the viruses side, I'm from the sensormedic side. So they each had an alliance and a connection to where they came from.
Yeah.
And so very quickly, my job was to gain alignment to a broader respiratory, CareFusion Respiratory Systems vision. And for me, leadership starts there. And everything that I've ever written about leadership, the first chapter is always on vision. And so we started by aligning to a vision, aligning to a direction, talking about organizational culture, getting people engaged, and getting people to accept the fact that we were now a new reality. We're not,
they're not
7 companies.
Entities, they're one.
Exactly.
I gotcha.
Exactly. So first thing is talking about it, aligning to a vision, engaging people in that vision, And now it's more about, okay, look, how do we get and learn from the best of the four quality systems that we have? They're all good. The FDA has clears our products and our plants are all great, but we can't talk to each other. From a documentation management system, from a financial systems, you know, one plant does MFG Pro, another plant will do QuickTime, QuickBooks.
So doing, you know, like a selection of best practices from each of the companies and melding?
Right.
Something from, you know, what CareFusion tends to do?
There's a bit of that, because after all, that's part of...
I've done an awful lot of these, and like at AT&T, essentially give you the AT&T way, because that's how
there is a bit of that, but sure. Luckily for us, CareFusion is a new entity, and so there is no quote-unquote, you know, legacy way of doing it. But, for example, look, if SAP is going to be your financial system, then fine. SAP will work just as well as Oracle or just as well as any of the others. So just alignment to one is just so much better than having two or three.
Oh, my gosh, it's too expensive the other way.
Yeah, exactly.
And part of the due diligence, because you have to sit there and figure out if this one's not an SAP shop. There's so many dollars attached to, you know.
Exactly. And so we've worked on it very simply. Quality systems, financial systems, documentation management systems, engineering validation processes, project management processes, and we just basically started hacking away at them and putting in place wherever we can. Now, it's a journey, right? It's a journey. We're not there yet. It's a process. But the company is I think much more integrated, much more feeling engaged around one vision. Now what complicates my world is that we get plants in Germany and in Palm Springs and in Mexico and in Minneapolis.
Exactly. The scale of what these things are now, you know, it's international, and then there's different type of money and there's different types of pacing. I get it. But how much of it is related to people feeling connected to the previous company, not letting go? Is there any of that?
Sure. There's some of that, and I think they needed to feel that the new regime, the new management, the new leadership values and recognizes that legacy, and it is a good legacy to have. And so, you know, it isn't about discarding our history; it's about building on our history.
Now, do you have any of the presidents of the companies that you've acquired becoming an employee within CareFusion somewhere else?
No, I'm fortunate.
I've seen that a lot, though, because especially like in telecommunication, it's such a small world.
I am fortunate that when I arrived, when Carol Zelm hired me on as the GM for this division, I was the incoming single general manager of the division, and all the previous sort of, you know, senior folks. So we're no longer with the company. So I was very fortunate.
To another division. I mean, you know, but I want to make sure that you get contact information on here, because this sounds like the first time I should interview you, and we should do it again to get drill down even deeper if you'd want to.
Sure.
But if somebody wants to contact you and talk with you more directly or ask a question, Tony, where can they reach you?
Well, a couple of simple ways. These days, LinkedIn is a fantastic way to reach. So I'm on LinkedIn, and they can find me at Tony Lopez. You know, and that's easy. I'm happy to give my personal email is ablopez85@yahoo.com, and that's an easy way to get a hold of me. And they can visit a website called thelegacyleader.net. So there's three ways that I'm very accessible.
And people, if you know my name, it's easy to get me. The email is aldonna@ambler.com, aldonna@amble.com. And the toll-free number in the United States is 1-888-ALDONNA. I have so many companies, what happened is I had too many telephone numbers. So if you're dealing directly with me, that's the number you get. Tony, you know, I feel like this was a rushed show. Apologize for that, because there's so much good meat in here. So I'm going to ask the listeners, play this back and listen to the subtleties of the story of how, you know, the CareFusion division got created, because that tells you about the corporate mindset and how somebody gets into their job. Think through the subtleties of the wording that he's saying, and then I think you'll come up with some better questions about what you want us to do maybe on our second show. But I just wanted you to hear how the corporate guy who's negotiating with you, if you want to sell your company and become a division, how do they sound? He's better than most, by the way. I'll give you my opinion. He's much more candid, much more pleasant, and you can imagine you would want to work with him. Some of these guys are pretty cagey and very bureaucratic and not as open. So I just don't want to misrepresent the animal. That wouldn't be fair either. So on that lovely note, expect that, you know, if you're going to hope that you get someone like Tony. This is the Growth Strategist and my Aldonna Ambler, and my signing out message is the same each week. I wish for you accelerated growth with sustained profitability. But remember, the secret is to reverse the phrase. First, you need to know what drives your profitability. Then you have to make sure you know how to sustain it. Then it's relevant what growth strategies you want to do so that you can step on the gas and grow. This is the growth strategist, Aldana Ambler, signing out.
Voice America Business would like to thank you for logging on and tuning into the Growth Strategist. Join us each Tuesday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time for another exciting episode of the Growth Strategist, right here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk, Voice America Business. If you're a struggling business trying to get to the next plateau and would like to learn more about what Aldana can do for you, log on to thegrowthstrategist.com. Listen to some of our many satisfied clients.
We called in the growth strategist to do a strategic analysis of our company, design an organizational structure, and improve our management team. The important point is that Aldana Ambler gets it. Her extensive experience coaching fast growth companies has really paid off for us.
Aldana played a key role in driving the rapid growth of our company. We now have a strategic growth plan in place, obtained growth financing, have a stronger management team, and expanded our services, and are already seeing profits. Companies dealing with business growth issues couldn't ask for a better or wiser business advisor than Aldana Ambler.
What are you waiting for? Call 1-888-ALDANA today and see where your business can go tomorrow. Once again, that number is 1-888-ALDONNA. TheGrowthStrategist.com. Achieving accelerated growth with sustained profitability.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.